It's very nice footage. The only thing is it is VCD, and it's not the very best of quality. At least the resolution, everything is okay, but it doesn't... Well, it's not preemptive. Let's say we're going to show you some VCD, and then we'll see what happens. Of course, Small Krishna Goswami Goddess, a very senior member of ISKCON. He joined in 1968 when Srila Prabhupada. He was a pioneer, taking a leading role in starting, first of all, Harinam Sankirtan in the streets in America. Then later in book distribution, and he was a pioneer in India. He was one of the first GBC men in India, and later he started the famous Radha Damodar Traveling Sankirtan Party along with Vishnujan Swami. Many of you have read Radha Damodar Vilas. Or actually, how many of you have read it? Radha Damodar Vilas? Not too many. It's Vyasaki's story about Vishnujan Swami and Jayananda. But, of course, Tamal Krishna Goswami was the main manager of the Radha Damodar Party, and he and Vishnujan Swami were very, very close friends. Right from their youth, they were living together in the forest in a famous farm near San Francisco called Morning Star Ranch. And they were living in a tree together. They were very renounced. So, and later on, for a long time, but especially in the final years of Srila Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Goswami was Prabhupada's secretary, and Prabhupada had a lot of faith in Tamal Krishna Goswami, expected a lot from him, and gave him a lot of mercy. Most of us remember how Prabhupada would get up in the morning and he would say, "Where's Tamal? Call Tamal." So he was the first person that Prabhupada thought about every day. And so it looks like our VCD is going to work. And then we'll talk about him later. I'll just wait. Okay, no waiting. The reason why we have this memorial for Goswami Maharaj is that it is good for us to see examples of devotees who were exemplary in so many ways and who were very strong in their devotional practices, very strong in their desire to please Srila Prabhupada. And it's important to remember great souls. So anyway, we'll talk more later on. Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. I met Tamal Krishna Goswami in 1969. As I said, he joined Srila Prabhupada in 1968. And I had very brief association with him in 1969. In 1969, he went to London, and later on to India. So, of course, there wasn't much opportunity at that time. The Prabhupada sent six devotees, three householder couples, to London. He said Rai Guru Maharaj was making grihasthas into sannyasis, but he said, I am making sannyasis into I am sending out my grihasthas as preachers. And so he was very proud of these three household couples. And of course they went to London and started doing Harinam on Oxford Street and around. And then at that time they were able to meet the Beatles, especially John Lennon and George Harrison. And there was a big newspaper article at that time, Hare Krishna Startles London. And they sent that article to Prabhupada, and he was very happy. They had a, after meeting the Beatles, George Harrison's idea was to record the Maha Mantra at the Beatles recording studio, which was one of the best studios in the world at that time. Naturally, the Beatles were very big Apple studios. In fact, it's very close to Southern Street, where our temple is today. So, after that recording, 45, at that time they had these little records called 45s, I don't know if you know what they are, little small records, and it was a hit single, and it was something like number, it was in the top 10 in the UK, it was number 3 in Germany. That was number 1 in Yugoslavia for 2 months in a row. But from that point on, the devotees, including Goswami Maharaj, we all very affectionately called him Goswami Maharaj. So they had a group, a little band, you can say, and they toured all around Europe in nightclubs and hotels and whatever, and they performed the Hare Krishna mantra, and they got paid nicely and whatever. And then later on, Kamal Krishna Goswami went to India, 1970, late 1970. So in 1969, 1970, I remember in America there was a story that Prabhupada had said that Tamal Krishna Goswami was Bhakti Siddhanta's number one grandson. He was known as a very staunch devotee. And as he was describing, he started the Sankirtan party. Now, interestingly enough, Prabhupada, of course, started the movement in New York. His first center was in New York. And there are more Jewish people in New York than there are in Israel. So all of our original, all of our leaders, they're all, most of them were Jewish, except for, I guess, Satsuru, Catholic. But Garga Muni, Brahmananda, Tamal, so many. Niranjan Swami, Gunagrahi Swami, you know, the list goes on and on. At one point, Prabhupada said, I am the Jewish guru. But anyway, everybody I know wherever we go, Mayapur and I, immediately in the temple he'll find out some Croatians and they all start talking together, and you know, I'm left out in the in the dark. So it's like that with everybody. But on the East Coast it was Brahmananda who was in charge, and in the West Coast it was Gargamuni and Kamala Krishna Goswami. So in those early days they would be on the telephone for, actually Goswami Maharaj told me this the day before March 14th in Mayapur. We had lunch together with Gangadas Das and Nareshwar Prabhu. I think Mayapur was there also. No, you weren't there. Anyway, he was telling how they'd be on the telephone for hours together discussing, we did this, oh really, you know, we were doing this, you should try this. And that way they had a lot to do with the development of the Christian consciousness movement in America. And of course, the Americans, they spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. We have to give them credit. And so then I ended up in India. In 1972, I went to India. And I was in Vrindavan for a month, and then I went to Calcutta. And I ended up in Mayapur. And then Goswami Maharaj, who was the GBC at that time, he started a traveling Sankirtan party. There was Gargamuni and Chutananda, the famous, he's also Jewish, famous bhajan singer, brilliant devotee, but brilliant man. And Hari Kesha was there. Just various other devotees who were now very famous and senior. So we had three jeeps and three trailers pulling behind the jeeps, and we were traveling all over India doing programs at big factories and temples, and we would make life members. So Kamala Krishna Goswami came to Mayapur, where I was the treasurer, and he, because he was the GBC, he took me. I was a brahmachari at that time, but I had been, I guess, one of the bigger and biggest book distributors in the world up to that point before I came to India. So he learned that, and he wanted me on his party. So I traveled with him and all these other devotees, and it was very, very intense. Regularly, we would have, we were kind of broken up into two camps, the brahmacharis, which included myself, Hari Kesha, and some others, and Tamal Krishna, Gargamuni, and Chintananda. Chintananda, not so much. Anyway, we would have arguments and disagreements, but we're always distributing books. Then we came finally to Hare Krishna Land in 1973. January 73. Goswami Maharaj had canceled the sales agreement and put us in a very bad position. And even Mr. Nair sent the police, he bribed the police, and they came and dragged the devotees off Hare Krishna. We were living there, not very nice conditions, but Prabhupada wanted us there. It was a tent, actually it was a, by that time there was a little shed where Radharasky and I were staying. And even one devotee who was fighting, her name was Maitri, they dragged her by the hair, grabbed her hair and dragged her across the ground, threw her in the paddy wagon, took us all off to jail. Somehow we were freed from that, but then as Goswami Maharaj was explaining, it was a long court battle. And in that way, we had many, many occasions for interaction. Again, I remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and are driving around Bombay making life members, and I was like working with Tamal Krishna Goswami, who's kind of, you know, I was one of his secretaries. And so there were many things. I took sannyas in 1975, and so I went to America in, actually, I was traveling, but I specifically went in 1978, and Tamal Krishna Goswami was in Dallas and Houston at that time. There had been some little misunderstanding in the JBC, and he had been sent back to, by the JBC, had been sent back to Houston and Dallas to mainly stay there. So I knew how great a devotee he was, so I thought, let me go there. And I went there and served under him for a number of months. Actually, I was in China also, in Taiwan, with Trivikram Swami and Goswami Maharaj Ramdas. I was there and he wanted me to come to New York, so he sent three devotees to replace me in Taiwan when I came to New York to take charge of the membership program there. Anyway, there are many, many things I could say and many, many stories, but what I remember most was that externally Tamal Krishna Goswami was very strong. He was very tough and very strong, and he could even be very heavy. And sometimes, especially mostly it was with his disciples. It wasn't that way with others, but with his disciples, it was, you know, they were very special people, because he would tell them, bring me a glass of water. They'd bring me a glass of water. Why did you bring it in that glass? Don't you know what's the matter with you? Bring me. And like that, he would just really push them and push them. But if you see them today, they're so disciplined and very much in love with him. And they were shattered when he left. I was most impressed by Dhananjaya's daughter, who stayed in London and had opportunity to see so many preachers and sannyasis. But, and Tamal Krishna Goswami was mostly in Dallas and Houston and China, but she was very much attracted to his preaching, and she took initiation from him and went on the way to Dallas to take initiation. But devotees, some devotees were privy to or had opportunity to see his soft side. He was actually very sensitive in many ways. His mind was constantly thinking. I've never met anybody like him. That's why when we heard about the accident, it was almost surreal or unbelievable, because he was the kind of person, if he was going from Mayapur to Calcutta, you know, his mind would be, he would have his service checking everything, the driver, what he did last night, what he did in the morning, whether the tires were full, you know, air in them, where he would sit, what was the safest place to sit, and who would be sitting in front of him. And you know, he was such a person, constantly thinking, very big brain. Both he and his brother are PhDs, very intelligent man, but also very soft inside and very sensitive. And I remember he was like my older brother, and I had that kind of relationship with him. I would go to him when I needed advice And a lot of managers, if you go to them for advice, they'll just, it's natural, but they'll say, well, how can I engage this person in service so that my management will benefit, so that my temple will get the benefit? They don't think so much what is best for me in my spiritual life, but it's just a natural tendency. But except for maybe an initial attempt, why don't you come and serve in China or something like that, but after that I always had confidence that he would give me advice where he actually cared for my spiritual advancement. And a few very key things in my life I got wonderful advice from him. So he was my older brother, and I really felt that. And then when I was in Bombay in 1999, 2000, and I was quite sick. In fact, I was in a coma. And so after I came out, Goswami Maharaj was in Govardhan. He had developed a project there, Giriraj Swami and Keshav Bharati. And he called me up. I was in the hospital, and he said, I'm coming to see you. So I was very ecstatic. I felt very good that my older brother's coming to see me. Didn't have to, but. And then he arranged to come to Delhi. It was a long car ride, then a plane ride, and he got to Bombay, and all the devotees wanted him to come to Radha Gopinath Temple, come to Radharas Bihari Temple, to take a tour of the hospital, to have a program at somebody's house. And he said, I'm not going on any tours. I don't want to come to see any deities. I've only come here to see one deity, my godbrother, Sridhar Swami. And then we spent 3 days together. And really meant a lot to me. And seeing that video, I just wish that he hadn't left. But I know that Srila Prabhupada wanted him for another big program somewhere else. It's our loss, but I'm just so happy that someone took the trouble to take these interviews from him, because he was a cornucopia. I don't know if that's the right word. I don't think they know what it is. He was an encyclopedia of wonderful stories. There are other devotees like that also here. So I mean, I just pray that somebody gets his memories before it's too late. But you should all aspire to follow in the footsteps of wonderful servants of Srila Prabhupada, like Tamal Krishna Goswami. And I was in India for so many years, so Prabhupada spent more time than anywhere else in Bombay, so naturally Goswami Maharaj spent more time there because he was always with Prabhupada. Either he would leave and come back, or he'd be with them for weeks or whatever. But I didn't get much chance or any chance to be with Srila Prabhupada in the UK, where he did spend a lot of time. So I'm begging Kripa Maya Prabhu to give us some memories from UK.
I spoke at an evening we had in memory of the facilities to Mala Krishna Maharaj. I said that I think when we read the scriptures, we see sometimes, or a lot of the time actually, that a very powerful devotee of the Lord is accompanied by associates. We have here the temple of Panchatattva. We have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his intimate associate. We have Lord Nityananda and his intimate associates. And these intimate associates, they balance the personality of the avatar or the great Vaishnava by complementing his activities, complementing his demeanor. And for myself, I always saw Tamala Krishna Maharaj as an intimate associate of Srila Prabhupada. Not because of physical proximity, because Prabhupada had a lot of devotees that were his secretaries or his assistants from time to time. But as we've heard from Maharaj so deeply over the years, you could see that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was assisting Srila Prabhupada wherever he was. I joined the movement quite late in 1974, and of course by that time things had already been developed in England, and I think about that time, when was Radhadama Dharma, when did that start? So as soon as I joined, our GBC at the time was known as Hansa Dutta. He came from Germany and he had a very good Sankirtan party called Hansa's Panzers.
He was American.
Yeah, but his family was German.
Yeah.
So he developed Germany. So on the one side, as Sankirtan devotees in England, we had the German Hansa's Panzers. But on the other side, as an example, we had the Radhadanda traveling Sankirtan party. And I remember as a young devotee, if you are a footballer, you keep a football, you keep a picture of a footballer on your wall and in your mind. And if you are a musician, you keep a picture of a famous musician maybe on your wall. Maybe it's someone that you want to become like. You want to develop their qualities. Well, we had this famous picture of Prabhupada surrounded by how many? Six buses? Six buses. Six silver American Greyhound buses that had been transformed into traveling temples. There was one Radha Krishna deity, Radha Damodar, because they had had to tie Krishna with ropes to the altar, because as the bus was going along, Krishna would also move. So when Tamal Krishna Maharaj told Prabhupada that they had tied Krishna with a rope to the altar, he said, "This is just like Mother Yashoda. So the names of your deities are Radha Damodar." And then they had a big festival and they installed another five sets of Gauranitai deities on the buses. So this famous photograph of Prabhupada surrounded by 130 brahmacharis. Now can you imagine? Can you imagine the kirtan? Can you imagine the book distribution? Yes. So 130 devotees, and there's Prabhupada in the middle, and on one side is Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and on the other side is Vishnu Janaswami. So we saw the picture, we heard the news, we read the Sankirtan results, we listened to Krishna Jan Swami's tapes, and then one day we heard the news, they're coming to London. And we were so excited. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj came, and Krishna Jan Swami led the Guru Puja. And as a young devotee, that must have been about 18, very, very, very impressed, both of them. One year later, we had a traveling temple of our own, which also came from Germany. It was Alanath that designed it with the German devotees, and Ram Mohan and Smita Krishna, now Swami, was the cook. No, he was the pujari and the cook. And anyway, I was able to look after that bus party, and we were very proud when Tamal Krishna Maharaj came back from India, and he came on our bus. So we were showing him around the bus. It was about in 1976. I always saw Tamal Krishna Maharaj with Prabhupada. So I suppose it's like when you have your spiritual master, and then you have one person who is very, very close to your spiritual master, and you see them in the same light, such that you see them both together. These days, I suppose you could say it was like Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru, but we didn't really have those terms in ISKCON in those days. But I always saw him as being very close to Prabhupada, and we knew that he was pleasing Prabhupada so much. So in 1977, Prabhupada came to England, and he was on his way to America. He didn't get to America. The devotees had arranged a big welcome for him in New York. They had a big building there. They'd come from all over America to receive Prabhupada. But he came for Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja in Bhaktivedanta Manor in 1977. And I remember the talk that Tamal Krishna Maharaj gave. And he's right, Prabhupada did interrupt three times to talk about how his spiritual master had told him about book distribution. He also interrupted one time when Tamal Krishna Maharaj couldn't remember the year when Prabhupada had met his spiritual master. There was a pause, and Prabhupada said, 1922. So Prabhupada wasn't saying anything at that time, so we were very happy that Prabhupada was speaking on this occasion. On that, during that period, I saw Tamal Krishna Maharaj care for Prabhupada as only a loving devoted servant can do. Prabhupada had to go to the local hospital, and when Prabhupada was going to the hospital, I just saw Tamal Krishna Maharaj very gently help him into the car and just protect his head, so that when he was getting into the car, Prabhupada didn't, you know, knock his head on the top of the door frame. And it was just a little gesture, but it was just a gesture that showed that he cared. And he cared about the details. I think he cared about the details, Maharaj, because he cared about the details in his service to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada trained him to care about the details. And he wanted to pass on Prabhupada's training to everyone else. When Prabhupada was very sick in Vrindavan, we heard the news on a daily basis. There was no email, of course, no faxes, no fax machines, no long distance telephone calls. Very, very difficult. But we got a couple of calls from Vrindavan, but we used to get sent cassette tapes. And on one cassette tape, there is a discussion between Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Prabhupada, where Prabhupada is asked to go to Govardhan Hill on Parikrama. And some group of devotees wanted to allow Prabhupada to go to Govardhan Hill to do Parikrama. And another group of devotees said, no, this will be, you know, this will be, he won't recover. So, Tamal Krishna Maharaj had gone to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, we're going practically mad. He said, we're going mad, you don't know how to serve him. And it was just clear from this cassette tape that we heard that he was being, I mean, it was difficult for everybody, but he was right there on the spot, serving Prabhupada, trying to help him in so many ways. So the intensity of his love for his spiritual master was displayed for us to hear on that tape, and that tape is still available of him talking to Prabhupada. And I'm saying these things because in later years there was all sorts of controversy and rumor about Tamal Krishna Maharaj's relationship with Prabhupada and his attitudes towards Prabhupada. And I think if anybody has any doubts, they should just listen to those tapes at the time. Then he was 77, 78, 79. He was working in China and developing Dallas into a beautiful temple along with Houston, and writing books. I think it's fair to say that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was always thinking, what would the next step be for ISKCON? And that's something that he learned from Prabhupada. And I didn't know the story about Prabhupada changing his idea on Harinam in India. It's very interesting how it showed that Prabhupada was willing to change the plans if it was necessary. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was always thinking of what might be the next plan for spreading Krishna consciousness. So I know that his getting a PhD and preaching to very important and influential people in society, that was what he considered to be a special contribution that he could make to furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. So he spent quite a long time, 6 years, 6 years altogether. Was it two years in Southern Methodist University in Texas, and then 4 years in Cambridge, and the last 9 or 10 months was spent in Oxford University. He was being tutored by a famous expert on the Ramanuja Sampradaya, and this person, Dr. Julius Lepner, was very pleased with his progress. Tamal Krishna Maharaj would write a chapter of his PhD thesis. Was about Prabhupada as a theologian, Prabhupada as a contributor of theology. Maharaj was explaining the other night how Goswami Maharaj felt that Prabhupada had been cheated of an important title. You know, we have him as guru, author, spiritual leader, religious person, etc., etc. But Prabhupada was not readily acknowledged as a theologian, because a theologian is a very prestigious title in the academic world. It means someone who knows the study of God.
It also, Goswami Maharaj explained to me, he came to the man one time to see me, and he was just unlimited and kind to me in those days. Anyway, we were talking, and he was telling me, because I was always very excited about his work and his thesis. He said that a theologian, Prabhupada was considered to be a cult leader, expert, but still a cult leader. But a theologian is someone who takes a tradition and adds something to it, contributes to its evolution or tradition. That's a theologian. Awarded that status, and Goswami Maharaj systematically showed how scholars were very biased against Prabhupada.
Did he do that in his book?
He said that his mentor initially was not very confident about the possibility of writing such a thesis that would impress anyone, but after it developed and after he saw how thorough it was and after he saw how the points were so cogent, he told them all, he said, anybody who wants to say anything about the Hare Krishna movement after this will have to refer to these, to this book, to this thesis, because it's so seminal or so, you know, authoritative. So it was really, it would have been like a landmark. It would have been a really important, for scholars, a very important document, which of course, I suppose Goswami Maharaj would have developed it into a book. Although he told me that after he completed his thesis, he just wanted to get back to Sankirtan. He said he'd had enough. He kept a very rigorous program in Cambridge. He was very, very disciplined, daily schedule, lots of reading and writing. But I think that he finished. He told you that he hadn't quite finished.
No, he hadn't.
He had one chapter, which was not. That is sort of confirmed the other.